for me to spend this time with you each morning and to strive for faithfulness and excellence as we gather together day after day. We've done it for quite a while now, and most of us don't know each other personally. Most of us have never seen each other. I so appreciate you loaning us your faith when we come on each morning. It's a blessing in my life, and I'm hoping that it is a blessing and continues to be a blessing for your life as we've come into a new year and a new season. We are now here at day number 2 for this week, and our theme for this week, as I choose a theme each week, is a healthy soul. And we're talking about the soul's health. This time of the year, parking lots of gyms are full. I passed by LA Fitness here in my area a few days ago, and the parking lot was full. People want to focus on their health. They want to lose weight. They want to tone their bodies. In January, someone has said that that usually lasts until about January the 12th, and they've designated January the 12th as a quitting day because, you know, for the first 10 days or 11 days or so, people are all motivated and hyped up. I'm going to lose 20 pounds. I'm going to lose 50 pounds. I'm going to get my body in shape. I'm going to tone up my body. And by the third week, they've begun already to slack off. Well, we talk so much about our physical bodies. You know, Paul wrote Timothy and said physical exercise or bodily exercise profiteth little. What does he mean? He means exercise is good, but don't worship it. Don't praise it. Don't make that the center of your life. Understand we have to keep it all in balance. What we don't hear people talking a lot about is the health of their souls. How healthy is your soul? My pastor that ordained me, Dr. E.J. James Jr., had a pet sermon he would preach from time to time called Fat Body, Lean Souls. How healthy is your soul? Your soul is your mind, your heart, and your will. Let me change that for you. Your soul is the way you think. Your soul is the way you feel. And your soul is what you desire. Your soul has all to do with your affections and your emotions. And there are a lot of people that try to achieve happiness by exercising their physical body. There are other people that try to achieve happiness by letting their affections lead them. And they go from relationship to relationship. Sometimes it's a friendship. Sometimes if they're not married, it's a boyfriend, girlfriend type thing. And they follow their affections, where we all know that can get you in a lot of trouble. We need healthy souls if we're going to enjoy the victory that Jesus won for us at Golgotha. We need healthy souls. God wants your soul to be healthy. Yesterday, we looked at James 5:16 about the importance of confessing your faults or your shortcomings to an accountability partner and letting them pray for you, because the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous person avails much. Now, we like that last part of that verse, the effectual fervent prayer of a righteous man avails much, but we don't put the first part on it, confess your faults to somebody and let them pray for you or pray with you. And that's the righteous person's prayer that it's talking about. Today, here is a verse that we all know by heart. All of us know Psalm 23 and verse 3. He restores my soul. He leads me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Psalm 23 is a favorite of people around the world, generation after generation, century after century. We know Psalm 23. We read it at funerals. We read it in sick rooms. We read it before we get our days going, or if we've got a job interview or something special that's about to happen. Have you ever stopped to consider verse 3? He restores my soul. The word restores there is the word shub in Hebrew. And the word shub means to turn back. It means to turn away, to turn back. Let me read this verse to you from the Message Bible. The Message Bible, Psalm 23, verse 3 says, "True to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction." Have you ever felt like you needed to catch your breath? One day, I was taking my walk in an area that I wasn't very familiar with. It was a beautiful area, huge lake, and right beside the highway off of a bridge. How many times had I said to myself, one day, I'm going to take a walk around that lake. I like to walk outdoors. I'm not much for gyms or walking in the same place every day. I like to explore. And I took off on my morning walk, going around that lake. There were a few families out there. And I'm taking this walk. I don't really know, listen to this, I don't really know anything about the lake. So that means that I don't know where I'm going. But I had decided that that path encircled the lake. And I just started following the path. The path went across a little bridge, and then it went down a little ravine. And when I looked back over my shoulder, I couldn't see the lake anymore. Well, you know how it is when we think we know everything. And that morning, I thought I knew everything. I said, well, it'll be all right. I'll just keep walking. And I got lost. I took this turn and that turn. And you say, well, why didn't you just turn around and go back? Because I was stubborn. And because I thought if I kept walking, I would eventually see my way back to where I started. It took longer than I feel comfortable sharing with you. I was lost. I was lost, and I just kept walking and walking. I ended up in a neighborhood, and now I'm on a street. I'm not even on a path anymore. Now I've got to watch for dogs, and I'm still walking. I walked and walked and walked. I took out my phone and looked at the map, and I saw the highway on the map, and I headed in that direction. I don't really like when the GPS on the phone tells you where to walk to. I've gotten lost doing that in major cities, Boston and everywhere else. So I'm headed towards the highway. It took longer than I thought. When I got to the highway, there was no sidewalk. Now I've got to make my way across the bridge that goes over the lake and get back to my car. I want to say to you today, in life, we often think we know what we're doing, and we end up exhausted. Oh, man, have you ever run out of breath? I was one tired man when I got back to my car. I was gasping. I mean, I hadn't walked that long, that far, and it makes it worse when you don't know where you are. Has that ever happened to you in your life, that you've just run out of breath? It's like everybody wants something from you. Everybody's trying to get money out of you. Everybody wants your time. And then you've got your own issues to deal with. You maybe have some challenges with your health or challenges with your job. You've got unexpected bills, or you did not get some unexpected money. And bills don't care. Then the phone starts ringing. There's one collector, then another collector. You go to the mailbox, and here's some collector in the mailbox. Have you ever just run out of breath? That's what Psalm 23, verse 3 is all about. He restores my soul. Or the Hebrew word shub means he turns my soul back. It doesn't mean to go all the way back to the beginning. It means he gives me a break. He helps me to think it through. He calms me down. Somebody listening to me today, you just need to calm down. I know you're walking a path that you don't know where it's going. And I know you're looking out for dogs just like I was. And I know you may feel like you're walking on a highway with no sidewalk. But I want you to know today, God is a restorer. And he restores your soul. You see, we're not talking about your spirit man. Your spirit man is perfect. Some people say, well, maybe what you got is a spiritual problem. I hear what you're saying, but the Holy Ghost lives in my spirit. It's my soul. It's my emotions. It's my affections. It's the fact that I'm just worn out. One doctor's report after another report, one thing after the next can lead us to a place where we're just tired, just good old-fashioned dog tired. I brought you some great news today. He restores souls. And God wants you to hear me today. Calm down and breathe. Calm down and catch your breath. Don't let family and friends and finances put you in a place of exhaustion, because you're sure to make some bad decisions. Let me share this with you really quick, and then let's pray. The Bible gives us examples of people who made bad decisions when they got tired. Elijah is the first one that comes to mind. The Bible says, after he won the great triumph on the mountain, called down fire from heaven and killed the false prophets, Queen Jezebel sent him a note saying, I'm going to kill you by this time tomorrow. The Bible said he took off running, and he ran and 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 ran until he got tired. He fell down under a tree. The Bible calls it a juniper tree. And you know what he said? He prayed. He didn't pray that God would get rid of Jezebel. He didn't pray for deliverance. You know what he said? Lord, take my life. I'm no better than my father's. I thought I was a better man than the other people, but I'm no better. You know what God did? Removed him from the ministry. What do you think happened to the prodigal son sitting at that hog pen? Remember that story? Feeding the swine, Jesus said. What happened? Oh, he was tired. He'd spent all he had. All he had. He'd partied. He'd had a big time. He traveled. And he ended up with nothing like these lottery winners. All that money, only to file for bankruptcy less than 10 years later. He ended up with nothing. He's tired. And he decides to go back to his father. But did you hear what he said that he was going to say to his father? Father, I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me a hired slave. See, when you make decisions when you're tired, you never analyze things right. Never, never. You always see yourself as unworthy. Elijah said, Lord, you kill me. The prodigal son said, I'm no longer worthy to be a son. I'll just sleep out there with the slaves. We live beneath our privilege when we get tired. We don't make good decisions for our finances, our family, our business, our ministry. We don't make good decisions when we're tired. We have to invite the shepherd to restore our souls, to help us reset, to help me. Here's the word in the Message Bible, catch my breath. Hallelujah. What does it say in the Message Bible? Once again, true to your word, you let me catch my breath and send me in the right direction. Heavenly Father, we thank you this morning in Jesus' name for your word and for your spirit. We thank you, precious Father, as we pray together today that we're able to be on this call today. And Father, we praise you that as we gather around the word of the Lord this morning, that we gain wisdom and insight for Tuesday's victories. Thank you in Jesus' name that the word of the Lord declares that you restore our souls. And Father, we know that as we come into this prayer meeting this morning, you are restoring us right now for this day. And then the words say you lead us in the paths, plural paths, of righteousness for your name's sake. There are paths ahead of us today. There are decisions that we have to make. And we praise you in Jesus' name that although life goes on, Jesus is the key to abundant life. He said, you come to me if you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Give me your burden, Jesus says, and I will give you rest. Father, we thank you today that Jesus is the burden bearer. And we pray for every brother and sister on this call today that's feeling out of breath, that feels that they're being pulled on day after day, week after week, that there is always something that is to be done, always something that people are coming after them for. They feel as if they're like a well, and people think that they can draw water from them at their pleasure. In Jesus' name today, thank you that we are not here to meet the needs of everybody. Rather, we're here to serve you and love you and to be responsible believers in your kingdom. Thank you in Jesus' name, precious Father, that as we start off our day today, we declare we will not get exhausted. We declare today that we will not let our souls get tired, because we know from that we get angry and snappy. We know from that we'll say the wrong thing. And in Jesus' name, we hear the word of the Lord that says, let your speech be seasoned with salt. We praise you today for the victory. Guide our decisions today. Guide our feet today. And in the name of Jesus, even in the midst of the winter storm that's going across this country, we thank you in Jesus' name for safety. We pray that you keep us safe today. We pray, Father God, that you would provide our needs today. Thank you, Father, that the word of the Lord says you give us day by day our daily bread. And we claim that. We claim healing today in our bodies. We thank you that with Jesus' stripes we are healed. And we receive the healing that Jesus has already gotten for us. In the name of Jesus, we pray for our youth today and our elderly today. We pray, precious Father, that you keep them safely also. And in the name of Jesus, we pray that we would meet someone or have a word for someone today to help them through their day and to know that Jesus is Lord. We give you all the honor and praise and glory for all these blessings and others that you will send our way today. Amen.